Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah Radio. Yahuwah's ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, oh, Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Tribe Yahdah, tape number 164. And we're just going to slide down and get our elder and tell you all about the broadcast, and all the upcoming feast days, and all you need to know will be told by our elder, Mr. Till. Mr. Till, we will simply bring him in, and he'll set the stage on what tape number 164 will be about. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr.
Tibbs, Yahuwah bid you there, see you right. And Yahuwah bless you, see you as well, see you, boy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. Well, we know the box cage have been lit, and the curtain have went up. All we got to do now is organize and knowing how to get you them scriptures according about having them markers up in there and be prepared to swing back around and be fumbling all around him. And Yahweh said, that's a sign that I'm looking for. To let you know the next move is on its way. So, Elder, what did I tell this national audience as we mount up for another teaching of the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelite? Hit the stage, Elder, you on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And I always remind everyone that that's a good thing, because the more people that hear the words of Yahweh, the righteous words, they will be able to spread those words to others. Because there's too many people out there today. You'd be surprised how many people this week that I've ran into. Even made me late for a few programs, listening to Loud Bump the Gums contest, trying to put those brothers and sisters back on the right track. It would be amazing if you took a few minutes to find out how much has been embedded into most people's mind wrongly. And when I say wrongly, that's not according to the Bible, the King James Bible. It comes from not having one counselor, you know, but many counselors. I've heard some people say, oh, I'm going to study Buddhism. I'm going to study this. I'm going to study Christianity. Well, why would you do that? So I can get a better understanding of the word. Well, I think you've heard the seer say, some people are all over the place. Why not do what it says in the book of Sirach? Chapter 6, verse 6. It says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless, but have one counselor over 1,000. That means you only have one chef making a cake, not six making the same cake, not knowing what the outcome would be. You know, when you try to win those bump the gums contests, as I said before, you have to let them talk to see where they're coming from. And then put a verse on them, like we say. The book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, answer not before I've heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. But you hear it done mostly every day, and those are the ones that can't grab the word of Yahweh. Here's what you should do. Look at Sirach, chapter 11. Look in the verses 35 to 37. Let's see how this sets well with you. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. 36, and if thou seest a man of understanding, get thee behind unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door. 37, let thy mind be upon the ordinance of the Yahweh, and meditate continually in his commandments or Torah instructions. And he shall establish thine heart of mind, and give thee wisdom at thy own desire. You know, because we find out there's a huge history of the world past and present. Our history starts from our birth to our death, as I mentioned before. But those who fail to learn history are soon to repeat it. But those who fail to learn it correctly, they're going to be just simply doomed in this world and the world to come. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, because we try to ease you in to the pathway, because we know it's a narrow entrance for righteousness. In 2 Esther chapter 7, verse 7, it reminds you again. It says, the entrance therefore is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there is fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. So we want to make sure that we stay away from the treacherous parts, and we want to head the right way to Yahweh. Because we have to be aware, as much as we're taught, we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. We're given the knowledge to know there are many out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings and overly loud bump the gums contest, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, for their righteous learning, even sometimes turning the Bible scriptures around as verbal weapons. And we know who does that. Satan the devil. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's words, connecting the Bible books, your health and foods that you should eat, and keeping of Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information you have came to seek, and you now have found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time in that class is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. And the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address to use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under a big wire, you will see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after choosing this, again, you'll see choices. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindred of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You know, I always like to remind everyone that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. And mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building the school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's available during our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and click that red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This will be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. As it tells us in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6. You remember that verse. Be at peace with many, but nevertheless will have one counselor over 1,000. Also, by calling that same number, you can inquire what our members know as the 12 programs of the 12 tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we'd like to ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line, the 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. unless you call trying to teach. You will only hear a dial tone. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Just choose the program you will link logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Another good note, we're also broadcasting our programs on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listening to ethnic group. African American, just once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and you'll find this is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online to answer the questions you may have will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing as Shotgun. During this time, we'll take no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. So at this time, so we can start to learn these scriptures we're talking about, we will turn our program over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Daniel, Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's excellent on your part, and I like that. I like that. See, it's all about now I'm trying to get this sixth anointed camps to understand that this is business that you've been chosen to do, and Yahuwah is going to hinder you. You might take five steps up, and all of a sudden something happens. You know why? Because you've been chosen to do a job first, and because you were blessed to be in a lineage where you were chosen to do some good stuff, but you chose to sit on the sideline and watch this thing unfold, and that's going to be a hinder to you in time to come. We'll get a case in point. We don't know what we're saying now, but watch whatever I just got through saying. Watch it unfold itself somewhere in a lesson form of what I'm saying. About time I be saying some things on the spare of the moment because it will be given to me in the spare of the moment. Got it? Good. All right, let's see if we're going to be on stage for tonight's episode part number 164. And let's see who's coming on stage for tonight's episode, part 164. Okay, let's see. I see the young lion, Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Let's see, is he coming on the stage with the right spirit? We're gonna watch him, because the mothers, they got him out here and told me plainly. He said, them young lions, so far so good, but let's watch him just a little bit longer. I said, all right. Here it is. All right. Brother
Micaiah,
tribe of
Yahuwah,
Judah, Yahuwah be to
that seed right. Yahuwah bless you, dear Israel. Oh, seed right. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent. All right, there. That's the young lion. He ready to go. Because, see, we got to try him like the most. Said, wait, see, let's try him some first. Let's see what they do when we turn it up a little bit. Well, wait a minute. They looking good now. They skinning and grinning right now. Give them a little more time. All right. Let's see if Mother E ready to come on stage for another one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Is she ready to come on stage for take number 164? Mother E, tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah be to that seed right here.
Yahuwah bless you, Israel. Seed right. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right, there go Mother E. And we know Mother Z is sitting at a table now at her desk getting prepared to address this national audience after she hears something. She says, hey, let me hear something first, and I know how to put what I got to say to this national audience over 500,000 plus. Let me kind of hear a little something first. All right, so you will be hearing Mother Z address this national audience on the international side over 500,000 plus. Let's go back on stage again and signify another mother that came on. 8, number 164. Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of God Judah. Mother D.F. Israel, Yahweh be that seed right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. See, Mother, we understand one thing. Although we just got through the Sabbath day class, but we undid that. But it's just time to go again. See, we gonna push our part because we know that we supposed to lead by example. So that's why we gotta be. We all in. And we know you made it plain that this ain't no cameo on your end. I'm about some Yahweh, and I'm in this to win it. So I'm clear where you stand and the mother stand. I'm clear about them. No doubt about it. But we got to watch the rest of them, mother. We got to make sure we, because like I said again, what we did over the weekend, that was great. But guess what? It's time to do it all over again. So that's the way it is. Mother D.F. Israel, you got a comment on that? Mother D.F. Israel, you on the clock? Come on.
Hallelujah. That's my
comment. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Mother got a comment on it. And bottom line, I agree. Hallelujah. I agree.
Hallelujah.
All right. Y'all lying. See, we'll get something going on tape 164. I'll be looking at all that Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, and get in that microphone. And let's see if we get something going on. We don't know where we're going, but we'll get there. Tape 164, Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, Matthew 10:19. You on the clock, come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you should speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak."
Mm-hmm. He said, "The day is gonna deliver you up." Now, you go in the police station holler about some day. It's okay. Well, we see that you've been dealt with very harshly, but I need to know more than just today. So we'll deal with the day a little bit later. But what do Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say?
Look at Luke chapter 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
Mm-hmm. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But he made a profound statement there, a young man over there in Ezekiel. He made a profound statement in Ezekiel about something. And let's see what he says. And we definitely want to touch on, we see the memo. We see the memo, but we'll get with that shortly. But it's a statement over here in Ezekiel there, young man, that once we really understand what we're dealing with, it's going to be all right. And what part we got to know? In Ezekiel 38, verse 1, and skip down to verse 17. What can we read out of Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 17 there? Young Lion, what do it say that we can read? Come on.
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 1 and verse 17, verse 1 reads, "And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying," verse 17, "Thus says Yahweh, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the seers of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring you against them?" I would bring you against them.
Man, that big talker there, I got to hear that verse again because you did stumbling with that verse again. I need to hear that verse again because I've heard some out of that verse, but there, I want to hear it again in verse 17. Take your time, young lion, because I think there's something in that verse that we got to analyze this verse. In Ezekiel 38, verse 17. Try it one more time there, young lion. Come on.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 17. 17 reads, thus says Yahuwah, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the seers of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring you against them?
I will bring you against them. Yeah. That's big. Also, it was already prophesied that I was going to bring you against them. It was prophesied by the mouth of the seers that I'm going to send you against them. That's big talk with them. So now, that's big talk. I got to find out what they're talking about. That's big talk. Now, remember. Now, we never know if we're going to come back to this verse. That's why it's very important, those of the six anointed candles, you know, have your own about good five good markers, you know. And although we're in this verse right here, we might come back to this verse. But stick your marker in there, and if we come back, it'll be so smooth that you'll turn right back to it. You won't be falling all around. Six anointed candles, you got it, good. Now, I want to touch on that just a little bit because he says, I'm going to bring you against them. Now, that's big talk. I got to go to Jeremiah on that one. I got to get a second witness on that, Brother Micaiah. Now, I need to know a little bit about I'm going to bring you on them, and what can we read that he's going to do to them? I'm going to bring you against them. Now, I need to hear me something that I can read there, young lion. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, he said, I'm going to bring you against them. That's what we're hearing so far. Let's see what he got written and what he going to do to you by them. Jeremiah 21, 4 down to verse 6. Young lion, you on the clock. Come on. Jeremiah 21, 4 down to verse 6. What did he say?
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, verses 4 down to verse 6. Verse 4 reads, thus says Yahuwah of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hand, wherewith you fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the wall, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. Verse 5, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Verse 6, and I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence.
So he said he's going to bring them against you. And when them get on you, I'm going to help them because I'm going to fight against you with a mighty stretched out hand. Now, so how could this people be the beloved of the Almighty making statements like that to the seer? What happened? And Jeremiah 24, Brother Micaiah, what happened 9 and 10? Jeremiah 24, verse 9 and 10. And Mother E, tell me the 28th chapter, verse number 47 down to verse 50. Waiting on me, Mother E. Deuteronomy 28, 47 down to verse 50. Have that. Be patting that for those here. He'll be there in a minute. But he's going to do all this to by them to you. 24, 9, and 10 says what, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 reads, "And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places where the eye should drive them." Verse 10, "And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers."
What happened? What was prophesied that Jeremiah was pulling, Mother Eve? What was prophesied for Jeremiah to pull? Say that it got to be something that was written in 28 chapter 47 down to verse 50. Can you help me out? Because the them, I'm gonna bring them against you, but it got to be something that was done to make him have that much anger. Let me pull a rabbit out of that. Hold that part right there. Hey, Mother dear of Israel, in the book of Deuteronomy 29, let me see something Yahweh said in 29. He says something that we can read in Deuteronomy about them. Now, I'm struggling just a little bit right now, but he said something in the 29th chapter about them. And I want to hear a little bit of what he says about them. Pick up at verse 24, and we'll read down to verse 28. Let's see what it says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 24.
To 28.
Mother
GF
Israel, come
on. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24 to 28.
Yes.
Okay, see ya. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24 to 28, verse 24. "Even all nations shall say, wherefore has Yahweh done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of his great anger?" 25. "Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yahweh of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt." Verse 26. "For they went and served others, false Yahuwahs, and worshiped them." Yahuwahs, false Yahuwahs, whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. Verse 27. "And the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against this land, to bring up on it all the curses that are written in this book." Verse 28. "And Yahuwah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day."
Well, you mean that the children of the book is not in their land, they in other lands as it is this day. Now look what we done found out on the way of finding out something. So we clear, according to the prophecy of the heavenly tablet, the children of Israel is not in their land, not ruling their land as it is this day. See that? So now we clear that it's imposter in the land of Israel, because scripture cannot be broken. Mm. If the children of Israel is some in there, he there by permission, because we know a few families of Israel in 1968 went to the land, but they had to go through Give me a word, give me a word. They had to go through to get there. They just didn't get into the land, you know, just walk and say, well, this is mine. They had to go through somebody help me out. And who can help O.C. out? What word I need, how they got into the land in 1968? Did they just walk over there in the land and say,
no, they had to go. Portion. They had to go through a security test.
And by who?
By the government.
Yeah, by who?
By the government. He saw his five sons.
So they got into the land by the government of Esau and his five sons. See that? So if Israelites over there, they up over there by permission from the government of the five sons of Esau, translated today as the white man and the white woman. See that? So it's already prophesied. So you will not be in there ruling. You will be in another land until some things happen up the road. So we're clear. Now, Mother E, now let's find out exactly what made Yahweh have this anger against these people's call, why he put them, the other nations, and we find out that them is Esau and his five sons, translate today as the white man and the white woman, they is championing over you as we speak. So let's find out what happened, Mother E, tied by the mouth of the seer called Moses. And I mean the Yahweh was Moses. Aaron was the seer. What you mean Latter-day Saints? Look, that don't make no sense. What you mean that don't make no sense? Hold that point. Mother D of Israel, back back to 7-1. Let me take care of the Latter-day Saints real quick. They said that don't make no sense. Back to 7 verse 1, and let me go punch him in the nose real quick and get back to what we on. Back to Exodus 7 verse 1. Let's see what position Moses was in, and we'll see what position Aaron was in, and 7 verse 1. Come on.
Exodus chapter 7. Okay. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Okay. Okay. Exodus 7, verse 1, read. 10, verse 1. And Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made you a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your seer.
You see that? So, Mother D of Israel, when Moses organized the children of Israel, how did they look upon him as a what? According to 7 verse 1. What was Moses to the children of Israel?
Yahweh.
And what was Aaron to the children of Israel?
The seer.
There it is right there. So there it is right there. Latter-day Saints. Now, Mother B.F. Israel, Mother E. In that 28th chapter, verse 47 down. Matter of fact, read verse 46 just to get warmed up a little bit. Bring in verse 46 down to verse 50. 46, say that, Mother E, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 46 to 50. Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee, upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon the seed for elf, for the seven. Because thou serve not the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind, for the abundance of all things. 48. Therefore shall thou serve thy enemies, with the which Yahweh shall send against thee in the hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. Verse 49. The Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swiftly as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thus shall not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
That's big talk, mother. You say you gonna pick up a tongue that you knew nothing of. You didn't know the tongue called a Spanish tongue. That was from Esau. So it's no such thing as no Spanish people, unless you're talking about Esau and his five sons. The Spanish tongue that the northern kingdom picked up is because of going into captivity back to Spain, and they some of the northern kingdom blended in with Esau and his five sons and was taught Spanish. And that's a cursed tongue to the Israelites of the northern kingdom. Just like the tongue in Levite, English. That's a cursed tongue on us too. So all 12 tribes got a cursed tongue on them. Because now one of the languages you spoke at the time of the Bible. So we found out that it was prophesied it was going to happen to you. So now the position, Luke, Mother E, the position Luke pulled the verse said, you will be in the hands of your enemy. That was so Luke, the position, he pulled that verse. And let's see how he wrote it on the right side of the book, Mother E. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 down to 75. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 75. He said, you will be in the hands of your enemies. And this was prophesied in the 1400 B.C. by Moses. Now, 1400 years later, let's see what Luke the physician wrote in his book that we can read in 1:67, Mother E. You on the clock. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 61. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 67 and 75.
Yeah, straight on down to it. Yeah, walk it all the way down, Mother. Just walk it all the way down and paint the picture, because now we find out a lot of things that they wasn't, all they were doing was passing letters around, but they was pulling verses. Now we just got to read what was prophesied through Moses. Now Luke, the physician, he read something, and let's see what he's saying. But he said, you will be in the hands of your enemies. Let's see exactly what Luke got to say, the position, and Luke chapter 1, verse 67, fade on down to 75. Mother E, come on.
Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 75. Verse 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the righteous spirit and prophesied things. 6:8, let's see the Yahweh of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. 6:9, and have raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. 7, as he speaks by the mouth of his righteous field, which have been since the world began. 71. that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. 72, to perform the mercy promise to our fathers and to remember his righteous covenant. 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. 74, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve him without fear. 75, and righteousness and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Now, Moses, now you drop them down, Moses, and 70 through 72, and I want you to look at that real carefully. And what we're gonna do, we're just gonna watch you break this down with Mother D of Israel and the young line, ready to kind of help get in there with you on it. But you just dropped some profound statement. I don't want to say anything. I just want to hear it read again, and I want to hear it broke down. What is it saying? And with Mother D of Israel and the young lion, you know, we're going to get in and help with Dr. Oseel saying one word. What does it say again in verse 79 and verse 72 there, Mother? Once you get the first shot at breaking it down, what you read now, take one verse at a time. Read verse 70. And break that verse down with Mother D of Israel and the young lion. Listen very careful. Come on.
Luke chapter 1, verse 7. As he speaks by the mouth of his righteous seal, which have been since the world began.
Well, now break that down. Break one verse 1. Break that down, Mother. You got plenty of help. You got Mother D of Israel and the young lion sitting there to make sure we bump shoulders together on verse number 70. What's that verse saying?
This verse is saying, this is talking about Yahweh the Son was speaking to the ministering spirits, and they were taking it to the field. He said, as he spoke by the mouth of his seal. So, and this had been since the world began. So, Yahweh was speaking to his seal, giving them what to say.
To who?
To who? The seal. He was giving it
to the
seal. And the seals were passing it to the elders.
All right, we'll. That's good enough. We didn't hear nothing from the mothers of the young lion. So let's go next verse 71. Go ahead and read 71 and break that down.
Okay, 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Telling the seer was taking it to Israel and that how to be saved from the enemy.
What about the enemies? What about the 71? How do they feel about you? How do your enemies feel about you according to verse 71?
They hate us. They hate Israel.
Oh yeah. So that one we're reading over there in way over there in Deuteronomy. That the enemies, since you don't want to serve me, so that prophecy came to pass. Either you will serve your enemy, you don't want to serve me. And guess what? The enemies, they're gonna hate you. But now Mother, we're going to hold off on verse 72 for a minute. But I want to hear you break down 69 under the great ears of Mother D.F. Israel and the young lion. What does 69 say that we can read 69 and break that down for those here in this national? What is it saying in verse 69?
And has raised up the horns of salvation for us in the family of his servant David. So what this is saying is that in the family of David
I'm gonna help you out on this one, Mother.
And has raised up horns for us. On.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm gonna help you out on this, some other eat.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when I'm looking at verse 69, he says he have raised up a horn of salvation for us. He's saying that the us is Israel, and it was the horn of salvation that was raised up for us that that's in the house of his servant David.
Right.
So this horn is coming from the house of his servant David that was raised up for us, Israel, which is Yahuwah the Son.
Yep.
So, but what we find out, that he got to raise up a horn of what?
Salvation.
A salvation.
For who? According to that verse.
For us.
For Israel.
From us and where is it coming from? Where would the salvation be coming from, according to verse 69? For us, and where should we look for this salvation to come from, according to 69?
From the family of David, the servant David.
Oh, ain't that something? Ain't that nice? So now, what are we going to find out on the way to find out something? So now, if the children of Israel are going to get some salvation, you cannot look toward the other nations for your salvation. Your salvation must come from somebody out of the bloodline of David. David is dead. Yahuwah the Son is back on the right hand of the Father. So if you're going to get any type of salvation, it must come out of the family of David. Is that what we're reading?
Yeah.
That's what we're reading. That's what we're reading.
Well, I can't get back out of this class, but I'm reading now, so we got to be clear that if we're going to get salvation, children of Israel, you must be looking for someone out of the bloodline of David for your salvation. Is that what we're reading in 69?
That's what we're reading in 69.
All right, so now look out here. Heard something on the way of hearing something. So long as we deal with those that's outside of the bloodline of David, looking for salvation, you're going to be in an error. According to verse, this was told to the seer in 67, verse 67, to say, tell the children of Israel, now if you're going to get some salvation, what you look for is someone out of the bloodline of David for your salvation. Then, Mother, he dropped a profound statement. Now we can read verse number 72 and what it say. Now, 72 going to make a lot of sense, Mother, when you read 72.
72, to perform the mercy promise to our fathers and to remember his righteous covenant.
To remember what?
His righteous covenant.
So to perform the mercy promise to our fathers, and what we got to do again, Mother?
Remember.
And to what? What?
Remember the righteous covenant.
So we have to remember what's written in the righteous covenant for salvation for Israel, but it only works if you do what? Remember what?
Remember. Remember the covenant.
Righteous covenant.
Righteous covenant.
The righteous covenant. And what he say, Mother E, in verse 73.
Okay.
Mother E, what he say in verse 73?
Well, he said in 73, the oath which he swears to our father, Abraham. So.
And what was that? What did he swear to our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? If we remember the righteous covenant, what did he swear in 74 now, Mother? What did he say in verse 74?
That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. So
I don't wanna say nothing because I got the Latter Day Saints, I got the WCC World Council of Churches, and Big Timmy Dolan out of New York at the Roman Catholic Church. They all heard that plainly. Now, I don't want to say nothing. I just want somebody else to break that down, what we just got through hearing in verse 74. I just want to see what y'all will say, Mother E, Mother D of Israel, the young line. What is going on in that verse 74?
So in that verse 74, if they remember the covenant, kept the covenant, that they would be delivered out the hands of the enemy.
Oh, but if we do what?
To be delivered
out the hands of our enemy, that we might serve him without fear, what we got to remember, Mother?
Remember the right stuff.
You mean it ain't about us walking straight, trying to get along. All we got to do is remember to be delivered from the hand of our enemies. All we got to do is what again, Mother, according to verse 72?
72.
Tell me out, Mother dear Israel, young man.
Remember the right covenant.
Excellent. We got to remember the righteous covenant. We ain't got nothing coming until we remember the righteous covenant. He ain't going to remember nothing for you, children of Israel, until you remember the righteous covenant. Luke pulled it way back from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, letting you know this heebie-jeebies is still on you right now. Until you remember the righteous covenant. Now read verse 75 there, Mother E.
Okay, verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of your life.
You see that? So that's why we said earlier, when I said to Mother, we just got to having a fantastic weekend Saturday. But guess what? That's over with now. We gotta get in again. See, we gotta keep moving forward. We gotta keep moving forward in Yahweh's business of his word. We cannot look back on what we did the prior Sabbath. That's over with. Now we gotta bring the message he wants to be told on tape 164. If we remember and the righteous covenant and perform it, then Yahweh said he'll start doing some remembrance to you. Now, We want to go and see Brother Micaiah because Jeremiah got wind of Deuteronomy 2. And Jeremiah, he got winded of it. And this is what he says in 3:23. Because now we found out, I mean, we really can really, I mean, put a nice piece of meat on the bone on that verse 69. Because he made a profound statement, and I didn't want to say nothing, but I didn't hear it the way I wanted to hear it. Because WCC is leaving a whole lot of mess. I didn't hear it the way I wanted to hear it. It wasn't plain enough, Brother Micaiah. I want to read this verse one more time. And Luke 1:69, then we're going to Jeremiah 3:23. I want to hear this verse one more time. Now, if any one of the mothers want to jump in, if Brother Micaiah don't break this down, I mean, you know, where the seer can just rap back and be drinking some herbal tea. After he reads 1:69, one more time, come on, of Luke.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 1. Verse 69 reads, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Okay, verse 69. Well, what he's saying is that he's going to raise up a horn of salvation for the house for us, which is the children of Israel. But this horn is going to be come from the servant of David, which is mean it's going to come from the tribe of Yahdah Judah.
Yeah.
So this salvation that he's talking about is not for everybody, is it?
No.
Verse 69.
No.
This salvation ain't for everybody.
No.
Is it?
No. Israel.
I mean, salvation is not for everybody. According to verse 68 and 69. Is that what we read?
That's what we read.
Well, the WCC fan. Well, if salvation is not for everybody, then how do all the other everybodies get in then? Well, that's a good point. But now let's go and just lay a little foundation. We're going to Jeremiah because he was raised from the womb, and we're not reading Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 10, but he was raised from the womb to address this question right here. He was raised from the womb. And what did Jeremiah say? And 3:23. Now, when you go get Jeremiah's foundation, Jeremiah tried to get out of this thing. But Yahweh said, ain't no way out, Jeremiah. And 1:4-10, he tried to run, but he told Jeremiah his position, whether Jeremiah liked it or not, he was raised from the womb to make this statement. And we're getting ready to read in Jeremiah 3:23. What did he say?
Okay, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 23. 23 reads, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hill and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our Yahweh is the salvation of Israel.
Salvation of who?
Salvation of Israel.
That's what Jeremiah say. He said, it's vain for anybody to think it's any other way. That's what he just said. It is vain for anybody to think it's any other way, but according to Jeremiah, without the seal saying anything, salvation is for who? It's of who?
Israel.
So, when Yahweh the Son came in the body, what did he say that we can read in St. John chapter 4, verse 22. What Israel of this salvation starts with that we can read? Matter of fact, read verse 21 just to get warmed up. Matter of fact, read 20 down to verse 22. So we go on to St. John chapter 4, and we'll hear a conversation that's going on. Because we, matter of fact, we got to make a little meal out of it. I got to make a little meal out of it now. Because there's a conversation going on. It's salvation is of Israel. But we got to make sure we understand it is a order about things. By going to the fourth chapter of St. John, we're going to look at something and see what is the order of things. If you don't know what to do today, you have to watch the order of things unfold now. We're going to look at a conversation going on with the Almighty Son speaking to the woman of Samaria. We go on look and see exactly this conversation going on in 4 verse 7 down to verse number 10. Let's listen at this conversation going on right now. St. John chapter 4, young lion, pick up verse 7 down to verse 10. Listen good this conversation going on. Come on.
Okay. The book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 7 down to 10. Verse 7 reads, "There come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahweh the Son says unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for his followers were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being Yada Judah, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For Yada Judah have no dealings with the Samaritans." Mm-hmm. Verse 10, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of Yahweh and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water.
Mm-hmm. My. Hey, you don't see that? Now that's big talk right there. So, now that's big talk right there. Now skip down to verse 20 to 22. Listen to this conversation.
Okay. The book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 20 down to 22. Verse 20 reads, "Our Father worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Yada Judah is the place where man ought to worship." Verse 21, "Yahweh the Son says unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Yada Judah worship the Father." Verse 22, "You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of Yada Judah."
What can I say behind that? See, that's a mystery. So the Israel that he was talking to was, Jeremiah was talking to Israel, everything starts through Yahweh Judah. Salvation, it must come to Yahweh Judah first. Then Yahweh Judah have to teach the other 11 tribes. And that's the reason why this happened, young lion. So Ezekiel made a profound statement in 39:21, and Mother Dear of Israel, tell me something Jeremiah said in 33 verse 1, 9 through 10, 16, 24 through 26 there, Mother Dear of Israel. Jeremiah 31, verse 1. I know your pen working real good. Skip down to 9 and 10, 16, 24 through 26. Now, but back to the young lion. We just found out that salvation starts with Yahweh Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before you read Ezekiel 39:21, I got to go get, I was heading one way. Yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but no, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go and give me some Lamentation. Read past Jeremiah, young lion. I need to give me some Lamentation 1 through 10 because we got to analyze the salvation of Yahweh Judah. But in Lamentation with a book that nobody reads. So we're gonna investigate Lamentation a little bit. 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. What it say? Come on.
Okay, Book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verses 1 down to 10. Verse 1 reads, "How do the city sit solitary that was full of people? How, how is she become as a window? He that was great among the nations and princes among the prophets, how is she become?"
Hold that point.
Tribute.
Hold that point. Well, hold that point. Now, hold that first line across again.
Okay. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "How do the city sit solitary?"
Stop right there. How did the city get in solitary? Brother Micaiah, let's back up. Let's back up and see what is you talking about. What are you talking about? How did the city end up in solitary? Isaiah 35, verse 1.
Okay. Isaiah 35, verse 1. Going away now. Isaiah. The Book of Isaiah. We're going to chapter 35, and we want verse 1. The Book of Isaiah.
1 and 10. Yeah, 1 and 10.
All right, so the Book of Isaiah, chapter 35, we're on verse 1 to 10. Verse 1 reads, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." Verse 10, "And the ransom of Yahweh shall return, and come to Yahweh Judah with song, and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away."
So according to verse 1, what do solitary mean?
The wilderness.
Right. So Jeremiah is writing, how did a city had all this going for it, now it's a city set in solitary. That means a wilderness, because you, 12 tribes of Israel, you not there anymore. So this place set in solitary, because it ain't you over there. See? So now Jeremiah is writing, pulling from Isaiah, the wilderness is a solitary place. And they're going to be glad when you finally wake up. And he tell you who got to wake up first in verse 10, Yahweh Judah. See, Yahweh Judah, salvation, you got to lead the way for the 11 tribes, but you got to get your mind right first. You got to understand what you did yesterday and day for that. It don't mean a thing right now, what you're going to do today. Every day, go at it like it's your last. That's what John takes. Now, we're back to Lamentation. So now we know that Jeremiah is writing about the prophecy of Isaiah, but he's talking about Yahweh Judah. He said, this place right here was great among the nation, princes, and everybody was giving them a couple dollars. He won't know how it happened. He didn't mention about the northern kingdom getting up out of there. We understood how the northern kingdom lost their position by breaking away from southern kingdom. But the world fell behind what we read now, because Judah is the lead tribe, and they were impregnable. But what happened? That's the picture we try to draw. Judah, at once upon a time ago, was impregnable. Everything ran through Judah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, don't nothing run through you.
Mm.
Don't that make you want to, well, what happened? Jeremiah won't know what happened to these great people called Judah. The war that you call a day, African-American Negro. What happened to Negro? Anyway, Jeremiah talking about it right now. Let's read a little bit more in verse 1 again. Now, we're going to draw the picture. We're going to paint the picture real good for verse 1. So you clear up that Jeremiah writing about Judah, the one that the son is back in heaven, saying the only way the 11 tribes going to get salvation is through Judah. Here it is. Come on again. Read verse 1 again. Come on.
Okay. The book of Lamentations, chapter 1, picking it back up at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, how doeth the city sit in solitaire, the wilderness, that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the prophets, how is she become tributary, Yada Judah? Verse 2. She weeps sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she have none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Yada Judah. Verse 3. Yada Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the 17 nations. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. Verse 4. The ways of Yada Judah do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests die. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Verse 5. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for Yahweh hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity because before the end. Verse 6. And from the daughter of Yada Judah, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like herds that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Verse 7.
Hey, hold that point again. I gotta wipe my eyes on that.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what the man is reading? Mother dear of Israel, back up to Jeremiah 30 and give me verse 1, 2, 4. And skip down to verse 14, down to verse 17. Now, you know, see, that's why I say we don't have time to lick our chops on the what we just got through going on. So look with now, right now, a feast is coming up in about a month. The elder reminds us that a feast is coming up. But we just found out ain't nobody coming to your feast. See? That's why, how you get this all nation thing, and just like right now, we got a feast coming up called Tabernacle in about a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no other nations are planning on making that feast with you. playing no never mind, knowing you ain't gonna do neither. Yeah. See, and we just read that when it's a place that everybody got to come to, now they pay you no never mind, and it's a perfect example today. We ought to bloodline these people and ask the people coming up next month. Ain't nobody paying it no mind. It took our elder to bring it to the table that it is a feast coming up in a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it that? See? Now, Mother Dear of Israel, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1 to 4, 14 down to verse 17, and the old seer is going to wipe his eyes a little bit while you deliver the knockout blow in Jeremiah 30, 1, 2, 4, 14 down to verse 17. We're going to find his handkerchief and rub your eyes when you deliver the knockout blow. Come on.
Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 4, 14 to 17, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah saying, verse 2. Thus speaks Yahuwah, Yahuwah of Israel, saying, write you all the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. Verse 3. For lo, the days come, says Yahuwah, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says Yahuwah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Verse 4. And these are the words that Yahuwah spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Verse 14. All the lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not. For I have wounded you with the wounds of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thy sins, because your sins were increased. Verse 15. Why cry you for thine affliction? Your sorrow is incurable, for the multitude of thine sin, because your sins were increased, I have done those things unto you. Verse 16. Therefore all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil you shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon you will I give for a prey. Verse 17. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says Yahuwah, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Judah, whom no man seeks after.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
If you hear what the man is saying, ain't that what you call now?
Yeah.
They ask you now where you laying at. I'm from Africa. See, we ain't got a clue. But Yahuwah said, I'm the one did this to you. And but we read it earlier about Mother Eve. You don't want to serve me, you're going to serve your enemy. But you don't want to serve me. And that's what you're doing right now. The feast day is about a month or over a month to come. Ain't nobody talking about no feast. But the elder reminding us, the sixth anointed council, is a feast coming up next month. See, we still watching that one eye saying, and you waiting on the feast of whatever they got coming up on, you'll be all up in that. But Yahuwah, business you would do none. So you see, we got a big job ahead of us. And that's why Jeremiah had to write all these chapters in his 51 chapters in Jeremiah, and Yahuwah told him, hey, you ain't through. Sum it all up. we're going to let you write another book called Lamentation. To understand about Judah. Ain't nobody looking for no Judah. Ain't nobody looking to come to no peace. So how you get that old nation over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, all nation? Ain't no old nation keeping nothing. See? Not according to the Bible. Now, come on back to the Lamentation there. Let's get a little bit more there, young man. So now let's read again. Ain't nobody is coming to your get down. What verse is that again? In Lamentation. Brother Micaiah, what was that that verse that you left off on where he letting you know ain't nobody coming to your peace? So we're
going to fix them up next month. Yeah. So what that verse is, that ain't nobody coming to your peace. Come on. Verse, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "The ways of Yahdah Judah do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness." Verse 5. "Her adversaries are defeated. Her enemies prosper. For Yahweh has afflicted her for the multitude of her sins. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy." Verse 6. "And from the daughter of Yahdah Judah, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harps that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer." Verse 7. "Yahdah Judah remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her sadness." Verse 8. "Yahdah Judah has grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her naked. Yes, she sighed and turned backward." Verse 9. "Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembers not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comfort. Oh, Yahweh, behold my affliction. For the enemy has magnified himself." Verse 10. "The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she has seen that the 17 nations entered into her temple, whom you did command that they should not enter into your congregation."
Ain't that something? Did you hear what the man is saying? You mean all this in this book, when you paint the picture, what do you say? What happened to us? What kind of way in verse number 9? What happened to us in verse 9? One more time. One more again.
Okay. The book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 9. "Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembers not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderful. She had no comforter. Oh, Yahweh, behold my affliction. For the enemy has magnified himself."
William came down wonderful. I mean, Will came down so wonderful, you can take 10 members of the tribe of scattered Judah, and all 10 of them have a different song. I mean, you cannot get two to say the same thing. William came down wonderful. Hold that part. Before you read Lamentation 2, 15 and 16, hey, Mother E. Now, Mother E, what we're going to find out, the reason why Yahweh's hand, this is too perfect. He said, "I have delivered you up to your enemies wonderfully." I mean, And Daniel chapter 9, Mother E, this had to be a high power because we was once where everybody cared to us. And we ain't got a clue that this once, we never taught it in high school, grammar school, college. We never been taught that we came down wonderful and all nations used to throw in and check you out and leave you a couple dollars and everybody. I mean, there's no talk about this right now. But not on the feast days unless the six anointed camps talk about it. And ain't nothing said. We all came down wonderfully by the hands of Yahweh. But now it's time for someone to restore Judah back to his position. And all the way that's going to be happening out of the six anointed camps. That's why we keep telling the six anointed camps, you got to step it up. You got to step it up. Or you will be left behind. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 9, there, Mother E, this is what he says in verse number 12. Listen to this, 12 down to verse 14. We're going to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 12 to 14. Listen to this, Mother. I got to wipe my eyes while you deliver your part. Daniel chapter 9, verse 12 down to verse 14. Come on.
The book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 12 to 14. Verse 12. And he had confirmed his word, which he speaks against us, Israel, and against our judges. That judge us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon thy feet. 13. As it is written in the Torah instruction of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. It made we not our prayers before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, that we might return from our sin and understand thy truth. Verse 14. Therefore had the Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Yahweh, our Yahweh, is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice.
My. So, Mother, you just got to read the knockout blow in 12 through 14. See, can you summarize this for the national audience pertaining to Judah? Summarize what you just got to read pertaining to one tribe out of 12. What happened that we can read?
Okay.
All right, Mother D of Israel. You online? Don't let this good stuff get away now.
Confirm his word, if he speak against us and against Judah, that against judges that judge us by bringing up on us great evil. So the judges were doing evil, and they would bring the evil upon Israel, and the whole heaven had not been, this evil was done that hadn't been done in the heaven. And it was written in the law of Moses, all this evil that come upon us, okay, Moses has written all this evil.
Let me help you out a little bit here, Mother E.
I'd like to help out too.
Let me add a little bit in on that.
I know what you're talking about.
You hit it right on the head. It was just one thing I want to throw in there. It was Yada Judah with the judge of Yada Judah in the tribe of Yada Judah. His evil and his great judgment was upon at this moment right here. I just wanted to point that out, that it was Yada Judah that evil was upon at this point right here where we read.
Okay. So this was upon Yada Judah and not the other.
Just right here where we read, we talking about specifically Judah.
Well, I got a precept still.
But before you precept that, I need to hear something about verse 12. That he did something in verse 12. He did something real. He did something in verse 12 that I like to bring it out on tape 154. What he do? He did. Mother E, read verse 12 again. Something he did in 9 verse 12. Then we'll get Mother E up as
well. Well, that's all right.
9 verse 12. And he had confirmed his ruling, which he speaks against us and against our judges that judge us by bringing up on us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Yahweh's southern kingdom.
Mm-hmm. So he has confirmed his word, but how he do that in verse 6? How he do that, Mother E, according to verse 6? How do he do that?
Verse 6?
Yep.
Verse 6 says, neither have he hearkened unto thy servant, the seer, which speak in the name of our king, our prince, and our father, and to all the people of the land.
So he confirmed the word through who? The seer,
mm-hmm.
which he spake in the name of our kings, princes. So this message was told to the seers to pass this thing on, that what's going to happen to you, Israel, and he going to bring an evil upon you, Israel, Judah, like it ain't never happened to nobody up under the face of the earth. And that's the reason right now, that's the reason right now, even the 11 tribes, they can get together among themselves, and Judah is still in a disembobulating the brain. They can't even come together now, and they got all this blessing on them. And you notice right now, we're looking at a little traveling restaurant was put right in front of the temple. And you notice their best customers was who? Judah.
Yeah, that's it.
You see that? We always, everybody's best customer to everybody but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody used to flow to you, but now you've been wiped out so wonderfully. When anybody do something that's of somebody else, the first one being lying is the people of the book, Judah. I mean, I don't care what they got going on. Who gonna support it? Mm-hmm. Judah. I don't care what it is. But if Judah put anything together, they gonna look at it with an eye of, give me a word. Give me a word, give me a word. Look at an eye of what? Eye of
something. I didn't catch that.
See? When Judah put something together, They mm-hmm. will give you the eye of suspect. I don't mm-hmm. care what you open up, Judah.
Mm-hmm. You'll be suspicious.
You don't go the best of anything. They still going to be leery of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
mm-hmm.
Northern Kingdom can put a truck together. And Judah going to just stop in the middle of the street and give him that money. Oh, we got a lot of work to do. Now, Mother D.F. Israel got a precept. Come on, Mother. D.F. Israel, bring your precept, Mother.
Well, I passed him. I passed. It went a different way than what I thought.
Okay. Hallelujah, Rob. So.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go back to Lamentations 2, verse 15 and 16. Now, back to Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and Mother D.F. Israel, he forgot about my Jeremiah 31, verse 1, 9 and 10, 16, 24 through 26. We know you ain't forgot about it. All right, Lamentations 2, verse 5 and 6. Come on there, young lion.
All right. You know I'm still holding that Ezekiel too, right?
Ezekiel what?
39.
That 39,
21? Yeah, 21, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't ready for that yet. That's coming up. It might make it in this lesson. But sometimes you have to pause and say, I'll come back with that later. We want this Lamentation chapter 2, 15 and 16 right now. Come on there, young
all right. The book of Lamentation chapter 2, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 reads, all that pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Yadazu. Think. Is this the city that man called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Verse 15. All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we look for. We have found. Let me see. We have found. We have seen this.
Ain't that something? You hear what Jeremiah prophesied and saying?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Oh, everybody."
Mm-hmm.
They said they wait for this day because y'all have monopoly on everything, and the whole world waited for what gonna take these people down. All the way they can be taken down is Judas chapter 5, verse 18 down to verse 21. So they read the scripture. God, look what all that Judah got going. Everybody got to stop off and take care of Judah and wear his beak. So, but now we see ain't nobody thinking nothing about old Judah now. What happened? Maybe Judas can tell us what happened to Yahdah Judah. Let's just read in the fifth chapter of Judas chapter 5, verse 18 down to 21, young line. What happened that this thing been done so wonderfully? Whose hand is behind this thing? That you take 10 Judas, put them together, and won't two of them agree on nothing. What don't happen? Maybe we can find out in Judas chapter 5, 18 down to verse 21. Come on.
Okay, the book of Judas, chapter 5. Verse 18 down to 21. Verse 18 reads, but when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very sore, and were led captives into a land that was not theirs. And the temple of their Yahweh was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy. Verse 19. But now are they returned to their Yahweh and are come up from the places where they were scattered and have possessed Yadazur, where their temple is, and are seated in the hill country, for it was desolate. Verse 20. Now therefore, my Yahweh and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their Yahweh, let us consider that this shall be their room, and let us go up
and we shall overcome them. Verse 21. But if there be no sin in their nation, let my Yahuwah now pass by. Please their Yahuwah defend them, and their Yahuwah be for them, and we become a reproach before all the world.
Now, so if we stop sinning against Yahuwah, according to what you just got to read, what do Yahuwah do if we stop sinning against Yahuwah, Brother Micaiah?
It says, if we stop sinning against Yahuwah, then we are overcome them.
You mean that's all we gotta do? You mean all we gotta do is stop sinning against Yahuwah? And what is the biblical definition of sin, Brother Micaiah? Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Then we're going to 1 John chapter 3:3-4, 8-10. But I need Hosea 4 verse 1 to get warmed up. Hosea 4:1, what it say?
Okay, heading over to the book of Hosea. Chapter 4 verse 1. The book of Hosea. Oh, I got to get my other Bible. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, hear the word of Yahuwah, you children of Israel, for Yahuwah hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yahuwah in the land. The book of John, chapter 3.
Book of Luke.
1 John, chapter 3.
Oh.
Verse 3 down to 4 and 8 down to 10. Mm-hmm. The book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 and 8 down to 10. Verse 3 reads, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahuwah was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of Yahuwah doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of Yahuwah. Verse 10. And this, the children of Yahuwah are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of Yahuwah, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right. Yeah, you there? Okay. Well, let's see what we can do. We'll get an alternative event here until we get the spirit going on. We still got our Mother D.F. Israel on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, and we still got our Mother E., right?
Right.
Okay. Like we just had a little technical difficulties right now with the spirit. If we'll keep the ball game rolling, Mother D.F. Israel and Mother E., what we're going to do is we're going to kick it off with, he said something in there about that last verse. He said, neither he that loveth not his brother. In that last verse,
First John, chapter 3, verse 10. Let me see if we can get a precept on about who he's talking about as far as who your brother is. So, Mother G.F. Israel, let's check it out at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. And actually, let's read verse 1. Give me verse 2, and then we're going to pick it up at verse 16, 17, all the way down to 18.
You said Leviticus chapter 19.
Yes, ma'am. We're on Leviticus chapter 19. We're on verse 1 and 2. We're going to use verse 16 all the way down to verse 18, and we'll get it started right there.
Okay. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, 16 to 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be righteous, for I, Yahweh, your Yahweh, am righteous. Verse 16, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in thy mind. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sins upon him. Verse 18, you shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh.
So Yahweh let it be known that your neighbor is your brother. Your brother is the children of Israel.
Yeah.
He said you can't cause your brother to do no sin or nothing like that, you know, or hate your brother in your mind. And let me add a precept to that. We're going to go back over that Mother Eve to 1 John. And we're going to read that chapter 3 and give me verse 15. Let's see what you have to say about when you hate your brother. You know, when you do these things to your brother. How Yahweh look at that from his eyesight?
Chapter 3. What verse
did
you say?
We want chapter 3, verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 15.
1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abided in him.
So what did he say again? He said,
hate your brother. No. Whosoever hates
your brother. Read that one more time for me, Mother E. Read that one more time for me. Make sure I grasp it real good. Make sure I'm clear about what I heard.
Okay. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and he knows that no murder has entered life abided in him. Eternal life abided in him.
So he's saying, so Yahweh just let it know out of the chief speaker, Peter, out of the mouth of Peter, that he said that whosoever hate his brother is a murderer. Okay, so if you hate your brother, and remember we just got done reading in the book of Leviticus, he said in verse 17, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, he says, you should not hate your brother in your mind. So if you hate your brother in your mind, that means you a murderer. Yeah, why just let us know out of the chief speaker, out of the mouth of the chief speaker, Peter, that if you hate your brother in your mind, you still a murderer. He says that can stop you from getting your eternal life. We're going to add a little bit someone to that too. We're going to see how this roll out. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to pick it up at verse 22. And Mother D.F. Israel, give me that Matthew 5, verse 22. Before you read that, I want Mother E to give me that Proverbs 6:19.
Proverbs 6:19.
Yes, ma'am. Give me Proverbs chapter 6. And what did he say over there in 6:19? After we just got done reading that, if you are causing any, if you got any hate inside of your mind against your brother, you know, Yahweh said that's as equal as murder. But also, he let it be known that can stop you from getting your eternal life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what's going on when we doing that in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19.
In the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19 reads.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth his God among brethren.
What did he say right there again, Mother?
A false witness that soweth his God among the brethren.
Mm-hmm. So if you sow discord among the brethren, what you consider?
A liar.
What? You consider a liar and he said you're a false witness that's speaking lies. Mm-hmm. Then you watch the ones like that that's causing discourse among the brothers. This is how you know they're going to have that in their mind. They're going to have that hatred in their mind. You know that if you just go and discourse among the brothers, and you're a false witness and you're speaking lies, then you got hatred in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why letting us know about giving us a way about the brothers that's around that can have hatred in their mind. But also he said something in what you holding over there for me, Mother D.F. Israel?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 22.
Yes, ma'am. Bring that out for me.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rachel, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about it is, now let's find out, because I keep hearing this whosoever, Mark. And, you know, they always say, oh, yeah, the whosoever go for everybody and anybody. You know, John 3:16, we come to find out they can't hold up whosoever for John 3:16. So let's see, can the whosoever for the world hold up, too, for what we just got done reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. So we're going to kick it off, and let's precept our Bible, Mother D.F. Israel, Mother E. Mother D.F. Israel, first let's go to Joel. We'll kick it off at chapter 2. We want verse 27, 28, and I think we'll drop down to verse 32. And let's get a clarification about who this whosoever is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Mother E, you get ready to meet me over there somewhere over in that Acts chapter 2. Well, I'm going to tell you exactly where to go in 1 second. I'm going to take a peek over there. It's fine. Let's get a groundbreaking record on some more whosoever going on for the national audience.
Who's that, Joel? You said Joel's top is two. Let me see a comeback. Thank you.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Alrighty, well, we believe we back after we getting a good chastising from the power, but that's the way it is. It's part of the program. That's part of the way it's going to be. So, young line, you did heel down in grand style. While nobody like to hear them kind of message that is the people that they are at, these peoples in the book of Ezekiel, you know, and they've been hidden real good, but it's a verse that's written about these peoples that we can read, and somebody going to activate these peoples, because it's written that these peoples is what? And Ezekiel 36, verse 8. Hey, Mother D up Israel, what does it say about these peoples in 36, verse 8 of Ezekiel?
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 8. But you, O mountain of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come.
And what the next verse said, amen?
9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilted and sore.
Oh. And what do verse 10 say?
Verse 10. And I will multiply men upon you, all the family of Israel, even all of it shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be built.
I wonder how that going to happen. I wonder how all that built up to happen. See, what I'm trying to tell you, fixing on accounts. See, the information that we're bringing out, we got to be clear that we are the land to come, but all we're going to be in the land to come, we got to come back to the agreement, the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we come back to this covenant. I know, Mother, you was holding something, Mother. Before you read that Jeremiah 31, Brother Micaiah, I want to take a look at something so we can be clear that something in Daniel chapter 7, verse 22 down to verse 28. See, it's something that we must know that the seers have already foretold about something. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 22 down to verse 28. Come on.
The book of Daniel chapter 7, 22 down to 28. Verse 22 reads, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High Yahuwah. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Verse now, hold 22. That point. Hold that point. Now, and I'm over here. Now, who these saints, is the time have came, it's time for the saints to possess the kingdom. See, it's time. Hey, Mother E, it's time, Mother. In Psalms chapter 50, verse number 7, can you let those see it out? Because it's time. It's time for the saints to possess this kingdom. It's written over in Psalm chapter 50 there, Mother E. Can you help those see out in 50 chapter? Let's find out when is this time on the table and what we got to do. Verse number 5, 6, and 7. Psalm chapter 50, 5, 6, 7. Mother E, come on.
Psalm chapter 7. Verse 5,
chapter 50.
Psalm chapter 50, verses
yes,
5,
5, 0. Yeah, 5, 0, 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 50, verse 5, 6, and 7. Come on.
Chapter 50, verses 5, 6, and 7. Verse 5. Gather my saints together. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Hold that point, mother. Hold that point, mother. Hold that point. Now, the six anointed camps got to gather his saints together. Those that have done what, mother?
Made a sacrifice.
The one that have overlooked and understand that you must have on fringes. You must bump shoulders on the Sabbath day. You must keep the feast days. You must keep the regular Sabbath days. That's the ones that we is to gather them saints. Because Mother E, he made it plain in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 12 and 13. Hey, Mother E, D.F. Israel, I mean. Mother D.F. Israel, mm-hmm. What did he say to read in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12 and 13?
1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 12 and 13. Verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Verse 13. But them that are without, Yahweh judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
See, I know we mean well and we get our feelings all in the way, but as long as we don't follow the rules and regulations of Thus Says Yahweh, we just spinning our wheels in the flesh. You ought to recognize what this man saying, Mother D of Israel in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 down to verse 18. See, he laying things out. You want Yahweh to intervene? You're on your knees trying to hope things happen great for you? Okay, good. It will make things happen great for you, but you got to follow the covenant, his guidelines. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 down to verse 18. What does it say, Mother D. of Israel?
2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, I forgot this text.
14 down to verse 18. Put some pen on it. Put some pen on it. 14 down to verse 18. What does it say?
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Verse 15. And what concord has Yahweh the Son with Baal? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yahweh. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separated, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty.
So we got to make some adjustments for Yahweh to intervene. You know, our prayers is great, but we just got to make some adjustments according to Yahweh if you want Yahweh to intervene. See, he going to test you whatever you love the most. That's where your test going to come from. And come on back, Brother Micaiah, if we can bring in our elder and Mother Z to address the T tape number 164. But what he's telling you, Steve, what, Judah, I'm going to test you. I'm going to try you with whatever you love the most. I'm going to see, will you stay on your knees and ignore what I got written, or will you put me first? And I'm saying, you down on your knees, you know, wishing for a lot of things to happen to get your feeling good. It ain't going to work like that, see, right? Yahweh put a tried test on you on whatever you love the most. That's where your test going to come from, to see what you stand firm on what he got written. He done told you what to do. We could have read Michael, verse 8. I done told you, old man, old woman, what is good. I done told you what's good. But you want to get around and you want me to step in and put a blessing on you, and what I told you is good, is bumping shoulders in my word. But you pay no never mind. Now, Brother Micaiah, come on back. And let's get some more of that good stuff we read in the book of Daniel. Come on back and finish that up there. Come on.
Okay, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, picking up at verse 22 down to 28. 22 reads, and to the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints, all the congregation of the children of Israel, of the Most High. And the time came that the saints, the children of Israel, possessed the kingdom. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. 25. And he
now
shall
hold that
be
point.
Great words.
Now hold that point. Hold that point. Now hold it. Ain't no way out of you mean he on Daniel to see him that this beast is gonna subdue 3 kings. Now this fourth, he said his fourth beast, he gonna knock off 3 kings. Now you know I can't have to get away. See, you know you to show you how this Bible is so advanced. Once we understand the knowledge of what he passed to the seers. Now, these 3 kings that went down, what is the history of the 3 kings that went down? You know what? This one happened already. 3 kings have been subdued. Matter of fact, America defeated the French, in 1754. They started a war. In the end, around about 1763, when America knocked off French, F-R-E-N-C-H. Then America didn't stop there, the fourth kingdom. They defeated the British in 1775 to 1783. I'll be down there, Sister Naughty Counts. To show you how it's so important to keep up with the seers and the elders and those that are anointed to understand what timeline you're in right now. America just got through defeating France, Spain, in 1898. So these are the 3 kingdoms that were taken down by this fourth beast. And now you can go read in your history books, and you can read when America defeated the French in 1754 to the war started in 1763. You can read where America took down Great Britain in 1775 and all the 1783. You can go in your books and read the history of the defeating of Spain in 1898. Showing you that you got to be clear that we can just back and tell you the next two from the conversation are based upon these 3 of this fourth beast, which is the kingdom we're in right now, and their history of defeating three of their brother brothers in the year we just gave it to you. And all you got to do is research that, and that come up top of our head. Keep it in your mind. The Bible is called, and as a ministry, can tell you exactly where you at if you pay attention. Now, come on back again and bring it back up, because Daniel called this to the present.
Okay.
French, Great Britain, and Spain. The French went down, Great Britain went down, and Spain went down by this four kingdom. See? That don't happen already, see, right? Call me some more of that, young lion.
The book of Daniel, chapter 7, pick it up at verse 25 reads. And he says, speak great words against the Most High Yahuwah, and shall wear out the saints, the children of Israel, of the Most High Yahuwah.
And he's speaking great words against you. He's telling you ain't got to keep no laws, you ain't got to wear no fringes, you ain't got to keep no Sabbath days, no feast days. All you got to do is believe on white man Jesus, and you'll be saved. He is doing great things against you right now. He's telling you now you can eat anything, get your mouth on. See? He's speaking great words against the Most High. As we speak now, he got you confused. Huh? He's doing that. But he said, again, the saints is going to take this thing from him. Now, 1:48, verse 14, Mother E, who are these saints that's going to take this thing once they wake up? 1:48, verse 14, Mother E, who are these saints is going to take this thing? I mean, not just ask for it, they're going to take it. Who the saints is, we can read. 1:48, verse 14.
Psalm
148, verse 14. What's the name of these saints? I know we read it already. We just might, but we want to read it again to be clear that this thing is called. And if we don't bring it out, it's not going to be told. 148:14. Come on. Psalm
148:14. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise
you see
to Yahweh.
So you see that? So in time to come, remember that fourth beast, the fourth kingdom, have knocked off the three kings already. They have knocked off the French. They knocked off Great Britain and Spain. That's already in your history books. They rules absolute, and they came out of the Roman Empire. And they in charge right now along with the Catholic Church. So all this is on the table right now. This thing is clocked day by day if we just know how to look with the right ministry pointing the way. Come on back, Brother Micaiah.
Okay, picking it back up at the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, picking back up at verse 25. Verse 25 reads, and he shall speak against words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints, the congregation of the children of Israel, the Most High Yahuwah, and things to change times and laws. And they shall be given into the hand until a time and times in the dividing of times. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Verse 27. In the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints, the children of Israel, of the Most High Yahuwah, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my
cogitation much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my mind.
Okay. What did he say in verse 26 again, young man?
26 reads, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end.
Ain't that something? The judgment gonna sit. What do you mean? That means it's gonna be a ministry that raises up, regardless of all the little tricky tactics that you do on this ministry. The judgment is set. You know, muting the microphones, cutting off those fear and doing all that is on table. But it's not gonna remove prophecy on what's gonna happen. When we get the six anointed camps on their feet, one where they all can throw this book down, bump shoulders, Judah, wake up, wake up, wake up. Get in where you fit in at. Because the judgment is going to set. Whether you hide behind a curtain or not, the judgment going to set. Voices of the True Israelite going to bust this thing wide open. Listen, the judgment is going to set. How it's going to be. We clear how it's going to happen. That's why we can tell you exactly where you're at according to the pages of the book. We're going to pause right there and bring our elder in, get a closing statement in, and bring Mother Z, because she should have plenty to tie in on the close of take number 164. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock for your closing statement on take 164. Come on. Mr. Tibbs.
Quick.
See, we're going
to
move to the mother. All right. Mother Z, you're on the clock for tape number 164. What's your closing statement on tape 164? Yeah, come on.
I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 18.
Mother Z, I didn't hear nothing, Mother Z, it's time for you to address this national audience, and so what does Almighty put on you to come back with your Mother Z? Mother Z, come on in and bring whatever you got for take 164 from Yahweh to tell this national audience. You're on the clock, come on.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter 28, starting at verse 18. Verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be
disannulled,
and your agreement with hell shall not stand. With the when the overflow third shall pass through them, he shall be tossed down by it, trodden down by it. Verse 19, for the time that it goes forth, it shall take you from morning by morning, shall it pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a dictation only to understand the report. Verse 20, for the bed is short than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covenant narrow than that he can wrap himself in it. Verse 21, for the Yahweh shall raise up as in the mouth, TLB wrote as in the valley of Gideon, that he may do his work, his strength work. Work and bring to pass his act, his
strange act.
Verse 22. Now therefore be ye not Marcus, let your band be and be made strong, for I have heard of the Yahweh. I have heard from the Yahweh of hosts, and consumption even upon the whole earth. Verse 23, give ye ears and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. And I'm going to stop right there and say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It says about the covenant.
And that's what it says. And the covenant is, yes, it is.
This thing about the covenant.
The
24 said, Dr. Pa, Amen, choir. Mercy of his covenant. With death, covenant with death. Oh, that's what the covenant with death.
Okay.
Is someone there?
I'm here.
Shalom. Oh, ain't nobody here but us?
I guess not. Micaiah ain't there either?
No, he ain't here.
All right. Mother D?
Yes.
Yeah.
You finish up?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Like we got still got some more technical difficulties going on. So
we're going to continue the ball game rolling until we get get ready to get back on in. But in the meantime, we're going to probably close it on out. So let me see. What we picked up off at last?
Daniel 7:5-25.
Okay. Well, you know what? We go back to where we was going earlier that I wrote some things out. Let me see. Let's go back to that Proverbs chapter 6:19. And Mother D.F. Israel, we still got you on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, Mother D.F. Israel, you give me that Matthew 5:22, and then Mother E., give me that Proverbs 6:19 again. And we're going to kick it off with Mother D.F. Israel.
6:18.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mother E., you'll give me Proverbs 6:19.
Okay. Matthew 5:22.
Yes, ma'am.
Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rachel,
mm-hmm.
shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
No.
Okay. All right, so let's find out. Let's read that stuff. That's probably okay. Now, whosoever. We want to find out who this whosoever is. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some turn of events. Hold the spot right there, Mother E, but we're going to go over to that Joel. We're going to pull that Joel back up out of the Bible. We're going to see what Joel has to say in chapter 2. We want verse 27 and verse 28. And then drop down and give me verse 32.
Can I hear the fear?
Joel, what?
Joel, chapter 2, and we want verse 27-28, and drop down, give me verse 32. We want to make sure we let everybody know about who the whosoever is at this point, or what we reading on. What do you have to say over there, that we can read, Mother E?
The book of Joel, chapter 2. Verse 27 and verse 28.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and not him. And my people shall never be ashamed.
Now he said he in the midst of who? Mother
Israel.
We know this is is a statement to Israel. Okay. But what else he had to say about the people that shouldn't be ashamed? Verse 28.
And it shall come to pass afterward mm-hmm. that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see it.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now, in this case of point, he said he's going to pull out his spirit upon all flesh. But the all flesh is who that he's speaking to that we can read in verse 28. What name he's mentioning in verse 28?
Israel.
Okay, so at this point right now, we know that the all flesh is Israel.
Right.
Okay. All right, what we got going on in verse
32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. for in Mount Yadad Judah, and in Yadad Judah shall be delivered, as the Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahweh shall call.
Okay, so in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 32, that he said, and it should come to pass that whosoever, which is Israel, according to what we can read in verse 27,
right,
should call on the name of Yahweh, shall be delivered. So we know he gave Israel that position to call on the name of Yahweh. And they the ones that shall be delivered. But he says, for in Yadad Judah, in Yadad, in the inside of the northern kingdom, shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. So Yahweh just let us know that the whosoever is Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see what he had to say about this whosoever in the book of Acts. Of the DF Israel. And he Acts chapter 2. And we want verse, pick it up at verse 21 and 22.
Okay.
Yeah, we want Acts chapter 2. And pick it up at verse 21 and verse 22.
21 and 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words.
You men, hold on, stop right there, Mark. Now, let me get a clarification about who we just say right now, who we talking to in a whosoever part. Give me that top line again, then give me that first line again.
Verse 22 or 21?
Give me 21, then give me that first line of 22.
Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Verse 22. You men of Israel.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. So he just let it be known that he was talking to the man of Israel in a whosoever that we was reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. And he was telling that man of Israel about how to treat his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go back to... let's take that Proverbs chapter 6, verse, matter of fact, Mother Eve, give me Romans chapter 16, and let me get verse 17 and verse 18. Yeah, we want Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and verse 18.
Okay. So Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and verse 18.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren.
He said, I beseech you, brethren. Mm-hmm.
Mark him which calls divination.
Division.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the which ye have learned and evolved in.
Now he just let you know that just told the brethren that mark them which causes division.
Mm-hmm.
And often, and contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them.
Right.
continue to read. So if anyone is coming with any different teachers that try to come around, any of the six northern camps, anybody try to come and bring anything that's different from the teaching that we've been getting, that's why I let us know to avoid them. They're contrary. They cause discord among the brother. So they come in speaking lies. What else he say in verse 18 about?
Verse 18. But they that are such servants, not our Yahweh, the Son, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speech, deceive the mind of this sentence.
He let us know, he say, for they are such serve not our Yahweh the Son. But he say they after their own belly. Mm-hmm. And so they doing their own thing. They everything they doing is based off self.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's something else I want to bring out here, right? Let's see what Yahweh had to say over there in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see what Yahweh had to say about this going on in Matthew, chapter 13, verse 30.
Matthew 13, verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather you together first the tares and bind them in the bundle to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Now he just said, gather somebody and do what to him, mother again? Can you read that for me one more time?
Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them.
So he told me, he said, hey, even never am, but now he say, I want you to gather these, gather them tares over there.
Yeah.
Put them together, and I want you to burn them. Burn them tears. That's gonna be caused a discourse among the brothers.
Okay.
You got all the ones up, and I want you to put them on in some heat going on, some fire going on. But also, he said something. Pick it up at first. Let's go back and let's just read a little bit more. Let's see what he had to say over there in the book of Matthew. Now, pick it up at verse 13 and pick it up at verse 38 down to 43.
Matthew 13, verse 38 to 43.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reaper are the angels, ministering spirits. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels,
and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do sin, 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
Mm-hmm.
Who has ears to hear? Okay.
Let me finish that out, mother. You got to look excited. That's all.
The kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm. And I heard of quite a few things in there, but right now, I'm going to go, this right now. He said something in that, in the end of that verse that, that the children of the kingdom, they still going to be around, huh? But when they be around, what they eyes is going to see Mother eat in the book of Isaiah. It's something that they eyes is going to see in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 66.
Okay.
And I want to give me verse
24. Isaiah 66, 24.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the causes of the minions that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an horror unto all flesh.
He said they're going to be a what to all flesh?
A horror.
So they're going to be seeing some body parts right here going to have some carcass of men. The ones that had transgressed against Yahweh. Well, he said something about some worms that's not going to die on them and some fire not being, fire be quenched. So, and he said it's going to look abhorrent to all flesh. That means the ones that's going to still be here as went to that barn, they're going to see this scene right here, some bodies getting burnt. But as I sit down and I think about this, who's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be teaching all this? And now who's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be showing us this information and sharing this good old information?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go over here, Mother GF mm-hmm. Israel. Let's see, can we pull something out and get a little order going on? And let's see what we can read over there in the book of Genesis. And we're going to pick it up at Genesis chapter 46. 48. Give me verse 48, and I want verse 1, and give me 8 down to 10.
48. Genesis 48, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
You know what? No, I'm sorry. 49. Make that 49. Make that 49 verse 1, and then 8 down to 10.
Genesis 49, verse 1, 8 to 10,
mm-hmm.
verse 1. Mm-hmm. And Israel called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I might tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom your brother shall praise.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Verse 9.
Hey, so he said, Mother GF, let me jump in real fast. So just to clarify some things, he just said that Judah is going to be in the hands of their enemies, right? And that's what we've been talking about all day, that Yahdah Judah was going to be in the hands of their enemies and overcome their enemies. But we also come to find out right now, not only they're going to be in the hands of their enemies, but they're going to be praised by their brother. Is that what we read?
Yeah.
And it's going to be happening in the last days as well.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the last day. Just want to bring it out and make sure I clarify that. Pick that up. Verse nine.
Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stoopeth down. He crouches as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Verse 10. The scepter, the law, shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Yahweh the Son come, and unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be.
And to him shall the gathering of the peoples be. All right, that's Yahweh the Son. We just got done finding out that Yahdah Judah is the lawgiver.
Yeah.
So if Yahdah Judah is the lawgiver, then how can we even get to the next level? We haven't even came to Yahdah Judah to even get the law. So we got to first follow the order to get the law from Yahdah Judah. But the thing about it is, he said Yahdah Judah going to have the rulership until Yahweh the Son comes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see what he has to say about that position. Let's see what we can read. Now, I'm looking for something in Chronicles. We're going to Chronicles. And I'm looking for something in Chronicles, roughly around First Chronicles. And give me chapter 5, verse 2. Give me that first two lines. Let me get what he said about Yahdah Judah. I want to hear about Yahdah Judah. Because we want to make sure who we supposed to be hearing this from. You know, it was bringing out that the salvation, about who the salvation come from and who it come through and where it got to come from. We kind of find out that comes through Judah. But where we can get all this, some more of this good old information from about why you have it. What did he say in First Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 2? Oh, Mother Eve.
First Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2.
Mm-hmm. And then give me a closing statement after that, Mother Eve.
First Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. But Judah prevailed above his brothers, and of him came the chief ruler. But the brightness was Joseph.
But Judah prevailed over his brother and became the chief ruler. See, Judah the chief ruler. And Judah got a job to do to come and get this good old information from Voice of the True Israelites. Rabbi Yahdah Judah, and spread this information about, because you're a chief ruler. And not just you're a chief ruler, you're a lawgiver. And not only you're a lawgiver, Mother D.F. Israel, give me that Psalm 76, verse 1, after Mother E. give her a closing statement. Mother E., give me a closing statement.
For being here, and thanking and praising Yahweh for the class, thanking and praising Yahweh for the teacher, and thanking and praising Yahweh for each and every one that's in the class. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. And we'll get one in with Mother D.F. Israel, and you'll give a closing statement to Mother D.F. Israel. She give me this Psalm 76, verse 1. And give me a close statement after that.
Psalm 76, verse 1. And Judah is Yahweh known. His name is great in Israel.
Hallelujah. So his name is known in Yahweh Judah. Why you gotta keep telling man, you the one he gave that law to. That means you a law giver. That's your position on this earth. You the ruler, the chief ruler on the earth to be the law giver. What you got? Give me a closing statement, Mother D.F. Israel.
Psalms 134, verses 2 and 3, verses 2. Lift up your hands in the temple and bless Yahweh. Verse 3. Yahweh that made heaven and earth, bless you out of Yahweh Judah. Verse, I want to read 135, verse 21. Blessed be Yahweh out of Judah, which dwell in Judah. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Okay, now, I want to do here, Mother D.F. Israel. Now, I want to go pull out another scripture right before we close the line off. Let's go see what he had to say in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1 and verse 7.
You want me, Deuteronomy 33?
Yes, Mother D.F. Israel, can you give me Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1 and verse 7?
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1 and verse 7. Verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahweh, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Yahweh the voice of Judah, and bring him in unto his people. Let his hand be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemy.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. And Yahweh, let that be known that Judah got a blessing on them to get the help from the hands of his enemy.
Right.
But it's something else I wanted to point out, because we point out that Judah is the one that has to do some law-giving teaching. But how they get this information, too, I'm just going to add that in there, according that we can read. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13, verse 27. How do they get this information? According to Acts chapter 13, verse 27, Mother D.F. Israel, let's find out how the tribe of Yahweh Judah supposed to get this information that we can read, according to Acts chapter 13, verse
27. Acts chapter 13, verse 27.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Acts 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Yahweh Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the seers, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in damning him. Condemning him.
So, Yahweh Judah, in order for us to get this information that we need, we have to be able to sit in the temple. We have to be able to come in now and hear the voices of the seers
every Sabbath day.
And to add on to that, Mother E, you still there with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's stretch that book back over. Let's go a little bit more before they hit the line on us. Let me add that... Give me that Psalm 73, verse 16 and verse 17. We want two verses out of Psalm 73. We want verse 16 and we want verse 17.
We want to make sure we paint the picture that Yadat Judah got to be in the temple every Sabbath day, but in hearing the words of the seers every Sabbath day. So let's see who was there at the temple in Psalm 73, verse 16 and verse 17, Mother Eve.
Psalm 73:16-17.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17.
Verse 17.
And if I went into the sanctuary.